Hello there, and you're very welcome to Poem of the Week. Hello, I'm Morgan O'Reilly, and once again, you're very welcome to Poem of the Week, Near FM's year-long series promoting poetry. The series is a collaboration between Near FM, local poets, and members of the community. Each week, we will be celebrating poetry, both new and old, Irish and international, and published and unpublished work, alongside a significant date in our calendar. This week's poem is The Tiger's Tale, written and read now by Angela Carr.
City, a howl of chemical laughter. Menace fingers the air, seeking purchase in the drunken smoulder of narrow streets. Young girls toss ironed curtains of ebony hair, shared tribal headdress. Tiger sucklings, knock-kneed moon-eyed calves, they perch on the heights of borrowed triumph. Prada, Miu Miu, Louboutin. Fierce children, almost feral, wresting frenzied joy from the teeth of new calamity. Night yawns deep, and they do not know it. Car headlamps sweep the junction, horns blare. Ground shifting beneath them again, the girls totter into the bloom of darkness, each on milky limbs, pale and slender as a birch.
The Tiger's Tale by Angela Carr, read there by the poet herself, and she's sitting across from me in the studio now. Angela, thanks very much for coming into the studio.
Thanks for having me, Morgan.
Angela, tell us a little bit about that poem, The Tiger's Tale.
It was written in September 2010, and it was actually the day after Brian Lenihan had announced the bailout of the banks. Mm. And I was in Galway, and I just felt there was a real difference kind of in mood in between Dublin and Galway. Dublin felt very sombre. Everyone was very aware that something had gone badly wrong with the Celtic Tiger. And Galway, I was there, it was a Thursday night, and everybody was out. The place was kind of, everyone was out partying.
In typical Galway fashion.
In typical Galway fashion, but it had a little bit of the kind of the last days of the Roman Empire about it. And the contrast really struck me, but also the sense of these young people who'd kind of been born into the Celtic Tiger. They really had no reference point for what was coming.
The night of September 29th, 2008 will be forever etched in the history of Ireland, with the then government issuing a blanket guarantee that could have potentially forced the state to cover 440 billion euro of customer deposits and banks' own borrowings. Many questions remain to be answered about the night of the guarantee, and years of investigation and government-led inquiries have still left many Irish people feeling frustrated and lied to. The guarantee forced billions in losses on the Irish taxpayers. It socialised the costs of decade-long misadventures of runaway banks whose managers and private shareholders enjoyed the spoils of bumper profits throughout the boom. Meanwhile, the politics of austerity has been foisted upon the Irish taxpayer, and income disparity has never been greater. Perhaps if the banking inquiry can't give the Irish people the answers that they're looking for, it is to art and literature we should turn. From reading the poem, it kind of has, I've read this poem a couple of times now, and it's from your debut collection, and it's a wonderful collection of poems, and I've read this poem several times, and reading it again this morning, it hit me again. There's echoes of some kind of war-torn Eastern Bloc country for me, you know. It's chemical laughter, there's a smoulder of narrow streets, iron curtains of ebony hair, and all of these kind of, like, they're like young people, like lambs to the slaughter,
yeah,
in this harsh environment.
Yeah, I suppose, I would have grown up in the 70s and 80s, you know, particularly when the Iron Curtain was there. When I was a student, I was in Prague a couple of months just after the end of communism there. So I got to see that kind of firsthand. I think our experience of growing up was very different. And there was always that kind of, there was I guess I grew up in Thatcher's Britain, so there was that kind of that restraint or constraint there. And obviously, you know, these kind of looming threats from elsewhere, which again, we're starting to get a little bit of that coming back into the world now. I wasn't aware of that myself, but I guess there was a little bit of that's what's coming.
And it is, I mean, the powerful thing about the poem is that these young people are, I mean, we have to accept and appreciate that this poem was written in 2010 and we're apparently coming out of the recession now.
Yes.
But these people, they're on the precipice here, the bloom of darkness.
Yeah.
You know, they're so vulnerable.
Absolutely. And unprepared for what would come next. I mean, when I graduated in the mid-90s, it was into a recession. So I had that experience, and it was very short. We were coming out of kind of the worst of the 80s and the early 90s, but I can't imagine that kids who grew up during the Celtic Tiger would have any idea of what it would be like to live through anything else.
I'd like to talk to you about your path to poetry, and this is your debut collection, or sorry, this poem, The Tiger's Tale, is from your debut collection, How to Lose Your Home and Save Your Life. A very curious title. Maybe you'll tell us a little bit about it.
Yes, this goes back to 2008 when I was made redundant, and I own my own home, and shortly after that I went to the bank to make a small change to the mortgage, and followed their instructions, and then discovered that these instructions took me in a completely different direction to what I'd expected them to do. So the collection was really about the path that followed, and which I think is probably a very typical one for anyone that's come through the kind of the Celtic Tiger years and and the recession, the fear and the uncertainty of that. And writing was a big part of how I dealt with that.
I'd like to just, if you'll forgive me now, to read a little bit from the preface to the collection.
Okay.
And there's certain parts, as you just mentioned there, on losing my job in 2008, and then you go into the misunderstanding with the bank, and then it goes through the ombudsman and the High Court. But the bit I'm interested in, the bit I'll read from now: the experience brought fear, anger, illness and self-doubt, but also, unexpectedly, a clearer understanding of happiness, of the fragility of our lives, and what only becomes possible when everything falls apart. It's a really wonderful, strange philosophy on life. Could you tell us a little bit about what this means?
I'm not sure it's a philosophy as such, but I think there is that sense of you grow up believing in all of the structures that are already there. And this probably ties back a little bit to what I was saying about the kids that grown up in the Celtic Tiger years. You're told that this is the right path. This is what you do to be successful. You know, you go to school, you do your exams, you get a good job, or you go to university, get a good job, buy a home, you know, and you follow the path and everything will be fine. I think we've seen, you know, that isn't always true, and a lot, and we're seeing it in the wider world as well. And I think what I learned from this experience is things are always uncertain, even when you're following that path that you think is the safest. It's still uncertain, and I think being comfortable with uncertainty is probably the best skill we can develop for ourselves in life.
Yeah, it's like that great quote by, I think it was Thomas Jefferson, you know, the only thing that's certain in life is death and taxes.
Yes, yeah.
Very, very relevant in terms of the recession.
Well, and everything that's come since. I mean, a lot of things that we felt were secure, particularly, I think, in the last year or so, what we've seen with Brexit and what we've seen in America, we thought we were in kind of a safe democratic system, and now we're seeing that there were all these vulnerabilities that we weren't aware of.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, interesting times.
Interesting times. The Chinese.
Yes.
Are you living in? Well, anyway, less about that. We're trying to live happy lives.
Yeah.
Tell me about, this is your debut collection and you're busy writing away now. You're widely published across a number of periodicals and journals. What's going on for you at the moment? Are you busy writing away?
I am busy writing at the moment, which is great because I I don't have kind of a regular routine for writing, mm-hmm. But this year I've been really lucky. I went up to the north of Ireland in February. There's a lovely place up there called Downhill, and there's a hostel there where for 1 week of the year they offer it half price to writers and artists so that they can come and do some work. So I spent a couple of days up there, and when I came back, I was contacted by Listowel Writers Week, and they offered me a residency down in Kilrailig in Kerry. And so that was the end of February. Spent just over a week down there, did lots of writing.
Wow, brilliant.
Lots of walking.
Yeah.
It was fabulous. I've just finished doing the NaPoWriMo, which is the National Poetry Writing Month, which is kind of the equivalent of the
NaNoWriMo.
NaNoWriMo in November.
Yeah.
But the challenge is to write a poem a day for 30 days. So
difficult?
Not as difficult as I thought. There is a kind of a whole community around it, and yeah. I was lucky to be part of a group. So we were kind of checking in with each other yeah. every day, and there's loads of kind of prompts to help you get started. Mm. And there are some very short poetry forms that allow you to get a poem in maybe three lines.
Yeah. So they came in handy.
They came in very handy. But I think at the end I'd you know, 28 drafts and some ideas for other poems, and maybe a handful of those will make it through to kind of full length or fully worked out poems. Mm. But as a discipline, I found it really good.
Is it difficult putting together a new collection? I mean, that difficult second album, the old cliche.
I think there's an expectation. I'm not sure how true it is. I was at the Poetry Ireland, did a fantastic day of workshops on National Poetry Day, and Don Patterson from Picador was there, and he was saying, you know, a good collection is you put a great poem at the beginning, you put a great poem at the middle, at the end, and then you just throw the others up in the air and just put them in. So, you know, he didn't believe in this idea of an arc, but I think, you know, there is an expectation, mm. you know, particularly after your first and second, that you're really kind of getting to grips with a theme or a topic. So I'm not quite at that point yet. I do have a number of poems that I'm very happy with from the past yeah. year or so. I'm just not sure I've got a full collection as yet.
Angela, it's been a pleasure having you in the studio. Just before I let you go, any websites, where can we find more of your poetry?
Okay, my website is www.adreamingskin.com, and you can also find me at adreamingskin on Twitter.
Excellent. And if you put in Angela Carr into Google, there's hundreds of poems and hundreds of websites that come up as well. Once again, Angela, really, really a great pleasure to talk to you today.
Thank you very much.
Angela Carr hails from Glasgow with roots in Donegal and has lived and worked in Dublin since 1999. Three times shortlisted for the Patrick Kavanagh Poetry Award, in 2013 her debut collection won the Cork Literary Review Poetry Manuscript Competition. She regularly appears at festivals and literary events around the country, including Ovale, Double Shot, Drumineer Literary Festival, Corch, and the Dublin Book Festival. Her debut collection, How to Lose Your Home and Save Your Life, is published by Bradshaw Books. That's it from us for this week. A big thank you to this week's contributor, our production team, and everyone at Near FM, and also to Paula Meehan for her advice and support on this series. Poem of the Week is broadcast every Monday at 12 noon and every Saturday at 10 a.m. Join us next time for Poem of the Week. Good luck and God bless.
This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.